Blog Talk Radio.
God, everybody, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name, for this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it, and welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manasseh Christian Ministries, INC. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to first of all take this time to thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Barbara Amore will be here with our lesson in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. So if you would like to join us, please call in at 7 p.m. at 319-527-6204. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Amen. Our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision, and I pray your Holy Spirit manifest the breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of his gifts, and that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. At this time, I'd like to welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary, because we never like to start our service or our broadcast without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here by Francesca. Praise God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free. My shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory.
The Bible says he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Our God is able, amen. He's able.
See, I don't know what you're going through. me tell you a little bit about what I've been through, yeah. See, I've been homeless, yeah. Didn't know where I was gonna rest my head, but God is bigger.
Your neighbor, tell him he's able. Come on, say he's able. He's
able.
Say able. Say able. Say able. Say
able.
Say able. Say
able.
Say
able.
No matter what you're bound with, drugs, sex, whatever it might be, God has the power to break you loose. And is able to come into your marriage and set you free. Is able to come into your life and deliver you. Whatever the problem might be, my God is able. Oh, why don't you just give him a try? Reach out to the Lord. Call on his name. Cause he's able. Cause he's able. My God, my God, my God, my God, my God is able. Able to release you, able to set you free, able to heal you, yeah. Able to deliver you, able to rescue you, able to hold you up, able to bring you out of whatever storm you might be going through. He is able to provide, yeah. He's able to make way out of no way. God, I make something out of nothing. Hallelujah, the creator of the heaven and the earth. My God is able, yes he is. Yes he is. Oh, I know, I come to let you know that my God is able.
Oh, come on, somebody worship the Lord. Somebody bless the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah, hallelujah, he is worthy. Oh, somebody give him praise, somebody give him glory, give him worship. We worship you, Lord, we bless you, Lord. Hallelujah, oh, there is none like you, Lord. Oh, we give you praise, we give you glory, Lord. Oh, come on, praise him because he's able. I said praise him because he's able. Praise him because he's able. Yes, he is. Hallelujah.
Amen. Glory to God. No matter what you are going through, all you have to do is call on the name of God, and he will be right there to help you out of any situation. Dear Lord, wherever we find ourselves today, let us celebrate more and worry less. When our faith begins to waver, help us to trust you more, Father. Then, with praise on our lips and the love of your Son in our hearts, let us live courageously, faithfully, prayerfully, and thankfully, Lord God, for this day and every day, because we come this day to give you the glory, the praise, and the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And if you, again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, you can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. So if you have something that you want to thank God for what he has done in your life or in your children's life or even in your neighbors or anybody that you feel close to, and those who you do not feel close to, all you got to do is pray one for another. That's the reason why we are here, to pray for each other, to pray for what is going on in the world today. Even though we know that God sees all things, God knows all things, all he wants us to do is to just call upon his name and say, Lord, I cannot do this by myself. I need you to help me out of this situation or any other situation, Lord God. Let your will be done. Not my will, but your will be done. Why? Because a family that prays together stays together. Amen. Hallelujah.
When I think about it, we come along.
got to pray about it. At this time, won't you just open up your heart and let Jesus come in? Now is the time. Not tomorrow, not the next day, but right now. Open up your heart and let Jesus come in. Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus.
You might be sitting there thinking to yourself, where is my God now? So many hypocrites professing to be Christians, lying and gossiping in the church. But I'm here to let you know that it starts with you. Because all it takes is the anointing to make a difference. Now listen. There may be times in your life,
yes,
when you don't know what to do.
That's right.
There are times. It seems like everything is going wrong, and you don't know how you'll make it through. Kindness for weakness,
yes,
and then return your favor. Hold on, don't let go. I know the one who sits on high and looks down low. He's always there, standing by. He might be there when you want him, but he's always right on time.
Open your
heart and let Jesus come on in. Lord, have mercy. All you have to do is open up and let his
Spirit.
Open.
Honey.
Spirit.
Praise be to God. Open up your heart and let Jesus come in. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace and your mercy, which woke us up this morning, clothed in our right mind, healing in our bodies. Lord God, we thank you for watching over us last night while we slept and saw fit to wake us up this morning, to see a brand new day, another opportunity to call upon your name, to give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. We thank you, Lord God, for bringing us to a brand new day, for blessing us with your holy name. We are so grateful, and we come to you, Lord God, as humble as we know how, to praise your holy name, to do your will, not our will, Lord God. We thank you and ask that you forgive us for our sins, Lord God, present, past and future, Lord God. Thank you for life. We thank you for strength. We thank you for understanding. We thank you for being who you are, our Lord and Savior. Thank you, Lord God. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And it is as simple as that. All you have to do is to call in your prayer request at 319-527-6204. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you, in Jesus' name. Okay, my devotional message for this evening is entitled, Listen to the Love Song. Amen. And the scripture reading for this message is coming from Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. And it says, The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. My second scripture reading is coming from Matthew chapter 17, verse 5. And it says, While he was still speaking, a bright cloud enveloped them. And a voice from the cloud said, This is my son, whom I love. With him, I am well pleased. Listen to him. And my third scripture reading for this message is coming from Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. And it says, Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek. And you shall find. Knock, and the door will be open to you. Praise, may the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Amen. Again, the title of this message is Listen to the Love Song that I am continually singing to you. I take great delight in you. I rejoice over you with singing. The voices of the world are a harsh noise of chaos, pulling you this way and that way. Don't listen to those voices. Challenge them with my word. Learn to take many breaks from the world, finding a place to be still in my presence and listen to my voice. There is imminence hidden treasure to be found through listening to me. Though I pour out blessings upon you always, some of my richest blessings have to be actively sought. I love to reveal myself to you, and your seeking heart opens you up to receive more of my disclosure. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be open to you. Amen? Because if you don't ask, you do not receive. And if you don't knock, it will not be open to you. And if you don't ask, be given, seek. If you don't seek his love, you will never find it. Amen? I pray that this devotional message is a blessing to you as it is to me. And again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer. And at 7 p.m., our very own Barbara Amore will be here with our lesson this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. So if you would like to join us, call in at 7 p.m., and you can join in our Bible study for this evening. So at this time, I'd like to play another selection, because nothing is impossible for our God.
Through you, I can do anything. I can do all things, 'cause it's you who gives me strength. We'll be right back.
Praise be to God. Father God, we just want to thank you this evening for allowing the policemen to find the guy who was killing the homeless people. Even though they are homeless, Lord God, they are still your people. We are so grateful this evening that they apprehend him, and now he's going to prison for the murder of those people that he killed. And Lord God, we ask that you touch people's hearts, Lord God. Give them a change of heart. Put love in their heart and guide them, Lord God, where you would have them to go. Thank you for everything that you are doing. Life is not easy, Father. And you know, and all you said was to pray for one another. Pray more for others than you do for yourself, Lord God. And that's what we're trying to do in this world today, Lord God. Help us, give us strength, give us courage to go out, to bring your word to the people, Lord God, that they would have a changed heart, that one day they will say, what must I do to be saved? Lord God, help this world. Help the people in Ukraine. Help the people in Russia, that innocent people are dying for a senseless war, Lord God. You gave enough land for everyone to live. Why is this war going on with these two countries, Lord God? We ask that you put a hedge of protection around the children and around the mothers that are giving birth and being killed and bombed, Lord God. We ask that you continue to strengthen that country, Lord God, and let your will be done. We ask that you give the Russian President Putin, touch his heart, Lord God. Give him some kind of peace in his heart, Lord God. He's a broken person. And we're asking for that you have mercy, Lord God, on each and every one of them, Lord God. Thank you for everything that you are doing in their lives and our lives. And Lord God, just continue to do what you are doing. You are awesome, sovereign. You are our healer, Lord God. And we are thankful. We humbled ourselves to you right now, Lord God, and guide us where you would have us to go. And we ask all of these blessings in the mighty name of your son, Jesus. Amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. Trust him when times are tough. 2 Corinthians 1:3-4 in the CSB says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. He comforts us in all our afflictions so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any kind of affliction. Through the comfort, we ourselves receive from God. The Bible promises this. Tough times are temporary, but God's love is not. God's love lasts forever. So what does that mean to you? Just this, from time to time, everybody faces tough times. And Lord knows we are in tough times right now. And so will you. And when tough times arrive, God will always stand ready to protect you and heal you. Psalms 147 promises, he heals the brokenhearted verse 3 in the NIV. But Psalms 147 does not say that he heals them instantly. Usually, it takes time and maybe even a little help from you for God to fix things. So if you're facing tough times, my sisters and brothers, face them with God by your side. If you find yourself in any kind of trouble, pray about it and ask God for help. And be patient. God will work things out just as he has promised. But he will do it in his own way and in his own time. The only way to learn a strong faith is to endure great trials. I have learned my faith standing firm amid the most severe test. Measure the size of the obstacle against the size of God. Nothing is too big or too small for God. Adversity is always unexpected and unwelcome. It is an intruder and a thief. And yet, in the hands of God, adversity becomes the means through which his supernatural power is demonstrated. When God allows extraordinary trials for his people, he prepares extraordinary comfort for them. When terrible things happen, like what's going on in Russia and Ukraine, there are two choices, and only two. We can trust God, or we can defy him. We believe that God is God. He still got the whole world in his hands and knows exactly what he's doing. Or we must believe that he is not God and that we are at the awful mercy of mere chance. Think about this. When you experience tough times, and you will, we all will, eventually, a positive attitude makes a big difference in the way you tackle your problems. 2 Samuel 22:7 in the CSB says, I called to the Lord in my distress. I called to my God from his temple. He heard my voice. Isaiah 43:2-3 says, I will be with you when you pass through the waters, when you walk through the fire. The flame will not burn you. For I, the Lord, your God, the Holy One of Israel and your Savior. And Deuteronomy 4:30-31 says, when you are in distress and all these things have happened to you, you will return to the Lord your God in latter days and obey him. He will not leave you, destroy you, or forget the covenant with your fathers that he swore to them by oath, because the Lord your God is a compassionate God. To God be the glory for the reading of his mighty word. Heavenly Father, you are our strength and our protector. When we are troubled, you comfort us. When we are discouraged, you lift us up. When we are afraid, you deliver us. Let us turn to you, Lord, when we are weak in times of adversity. Let us trust your plan and your will for our life. Your love is infinite, as is your wisdom. Whatever our circumstances, dear Lord, let us always give the praise and the thanks and the glory to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. To God be the glory. And that concludes our sweet hour of prayer. At this time, I will play a selection while we are waiting on our speaker for this evening. Because we know that all of our help comes from the Lord. Amen. Praise be to God.
Oh, the sun shall not smite thee by day. See, this is what I told him. This is what I'm going to do.
Lesson this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. So we are going to welcome her with a hand clap praise. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank you. Good evening.
Good evening. God bless you.
God bless you, too. How are you?
I'm blessed. Thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
Anyone else on the line with us?
We have a caller, 814-258, on the line.
All right. Good evening, caller. Thank you for joining us. Evangelist, would you bring us in prayer?
Okay. Precious and Heavenly Father, we come this evening once again as humble as we know how to give you the glory, honor, and praise. We ask that you let this lesson this evening be all that you would have it to be. Bless our instructor who's going to come and open up our minds and our hearts and ears to hear, receive what thus says the Lord. And let it be everything that you would have it to be. Bless each and every one who did not find it robbery to come this evening to listen to this lesson and give their complaints or answers or whatever the Spirit put on their heart to say about this lesson. And we ask that everyone would receive this lesson this evening in love and everything in God's name. Amen. And sometimes the words don't come out right.
Amen. Thank you for that.
Praise God.
All right. I was just trying to grab a bite to eat. I just got in here.
Oh,
and my mouth was... Thank you for that. Okay, we're going to pick up from where we left off last week, talking about the facets of man. Section 2, page 25, the facets of the immaterial aspect of man. Ready?
Yes.
Man is like a diamond with its many facets. Those facets are not separate entities, yet they reflect various aspects of the whole. They may serve similar or overlapping functions, yet they are distinguishable. They are not parts. They are aspects, facets, faces of the whole. So what did we say aspects are?
Oh. I was more, oh, I forgot. Go ahead. Yeah, aspect.
So that's a characteristic or a slant.
There you go. Right.
Or sense or regard. So we look at that not in parts when we look at a man, but we look at it as a whole. The slant, the sense, the characteristic, or the regard. And so what did we say immaterial is?
Oh, immaterial is spiritual. Wait, let me make sure I get them right.
Okay.
Immaterial part of it. Did I say it right?
Yes, you said immaterial. That's one.
It's spiritual. It's spiritual and what's the other word? As oh man, I wrote it and I forgot it.
So when we say immaterial, people might think that we mean that it's insignificant. But on the contrary,
it's not.
It's something deeper than that.
Right.
All right?
Okay.
So when we talk about the immaterial of man, it's things that we cannot touch, we cannot feel, we cannot see, but it's there. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so it's irrelevant, it's unimportant, and it's insignificant. That was the obvious understanding of immaterial, but that's not what we mean when we read about it in the aspects of man. It's not trivial.
Mm-hmm.
It's philosophy. It's spiritual rather than physical. It's intangible, and it's incorporeal. All right, so just wanted to get that out there again. Talking about the immaterial aspect of man.
Yes.
Part 8, soul. In its most basic sense, the Hebrew word nephesh, N-E-P-H-E-S-H, means life. It designates man originally created as a living being, soul, Genesis 2 and 7, as well as other forms of life. Genesis 1, 20 through 21, 24 and 30, Leviticus 17 and 11. Notice also Exodus 21 and 23 and Joshua 2 and 13. This is the sense in which English would speak of an individual as a soul. We looked at that already, so we're not going to go back into that.
Okay.
That life principle departs at the time of physical death, Genesis 35 and 18, Jeremiah 15 and 2. Yet the corpse is called soul.
Mm-hmm.
See that in Leviticus 21, 1 through 3, Numbers 6 and 6, and 9 and 6. In the Old Testament, soul does not exist apart from the body. Soul is a part of the body. Emphasizing again the unity of man's being, rich and abundant, though this use of nephesh or soul for life is, we must not fail to observe that the N or nephesh is never given the meaning of an indestructible core of being, in contradistinction to the physical life, and even capable of living when cut off from that life. What does that mean to you?
Say that again. I'm sorry. I got a little bit distracted.
What does it mean when it says that the soul is not cut off, is capable of living when cut off from life?
The soul is cut off from life?
It says even capable of living when cut off from life. What does that mean?
The soul even though the body is gone, but the soul is still alive.
Right. So it's capable of living even when the body dead.
Yes.
That is something that's an awesome statement. We know that, once you have past, you've left this life, you departed, your demise, that you have everlasting life, and it goes with your soul.
Mm-hmm.
And so we also know, too, that the everlasting life can be in hell.
That's right.
You can live forever in hell. Or you can live forever with God and His Son and the Holy Spirit in heaven.
Amen.
So soul also is the center of various spiritual and emotional experiences of mankind. These include sympathy, we saw that in Job 30 and 25, despair, Psalm 43:5, bitterness, 2 Kings 4:27, hate, 2 Samuel 5 and 8, love, Song of Solomon 1:7 and 3, 1 through 4, and grief,
mm-hmm.
Jeremiah 30:17. The New Testament reveals some similarities and differences in its use of the word soul or psyche. It denotes the whole individual person only, Matthew 10 and 28. It also designates people in the intermediate state between death and the resurrection of the body. What does that mean to you, if anything?
But it can refer to the spiritual part of the man only. So that means that, does it mean that the soul will when the body is resurrected, that the soul will go back?
It denotes the whole individual person, but it can refer to the immaterial part of man only. It also designates people in the intermediate state between death and the resurrection of the body. So it represents people,
mm-hmm.
or designates people between life and death, between death and coming back in a resurrected body. Let's take a look at Revelation 6 and 9.
And says, okay, when the Lamb broke the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of all who had been martyred for the word of God and for being faithful in their testimony.
Okay, so this is Jesus talking to John. And he's revealing things, as we know in Revelation. So
mm-hmm.
when he ripped off the fifth seal, which is Jesus, I saw the souls of those killed because they had held firm to their witness to the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
So he saw the souls of those who would not deny God. They were gathered under the altar and cried out in loud prayers. How long, strong God, holy and true?
Mm-hmm.
How long before you stepped in and avenged our murders? Then each martyr was given a white robe and told to sit back and wait until the full number of Ephesus was filled from among their servant companions and friends in the faith. So they were to wait until the rest of the martyrs were gathered together with them.
Yes.
Before the souls could be revealed or whatever would happen to the souls.
Mm-hmm.
But in the meantime, they wait.
They wait like the rest of us.
Souls wait. So soul seems to be a principal focus of redemption. Though, of course, the physical body also experiences the effects of redemption. Notice passages like Hebrews 10:39, 13:17, James 1:21, 1 Peter 1:9, 22:2, 11, and 25. We had a homework assignment. Did you get to do it?
Yeah, it was. The homework assignment was what is a Nazarene? And a Nazarene, is a person. I'm sorry.
We're not a Nazarene. I'm talking about redemption.
Oh, I thought you wanted to know what was the homework assignment.
Say, wasn't this a part of the homework? We talked about Nazarene and redemption. So
yes.
Right now in the book, we're talking about redemption. So I don't need the Nazarene. We're talking about redemption.
Oh,
so what is redemption?
I didn't do the redemption. I only did the Nazarene.
Okay. So redemption is like when you redeem something, and you know I don't like to use the same word to expound on a word. But let me see what comes off. Redemption is when you turn something in for something else. Okay?
Okay, one second.
It's the action of being from sin, error, or what's that? Are you there?
Yes, I'm sorry. I'm here. I had to mute because the puppy was barking at somebody at the door.
Okay, so I said, what is redemption? The action of saving or being saved from sin, error, or evil. That's what redemption is. In the deliverance of Christians from sin, it assumes an important position in salvation because the transgressions in question form part of a great system against which human power is helpless. There's a Latin root, which is redeemer, R-E-D-I-M-E-R-E. R-E with the D in parentheses means...
I'm sorry, hold on. I'm sorry, I apologize, but, you know, this time of the evening, the hallway gets very busy, and he barks at everybody that passes by.
Okay, I understand.
Yes, okay.
Letting them know he's home, okay.
Yes, like, you can't pass through here.
Mm-hmm. So, to sum up, soul can mean the whole person,
mm-hmm.
alive or after death. It can designate the immaterial part of a person with its many feelings and emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And it is an important focus of spiritual redemption and growth. Next, we're going to look at spirit. Any questions before we go on?
No. Just pray that he don't make no more noise.
spirit, Ruach and Pneuma, refers only to the immaterial parts of man, unlike soul, which can denote the whole man, material and immaterial. Man is a soul, but man is not said to be a spirit. He has a spirit.
Amen.
What do you think about that?
Awesome. Awesome, because he has a soul and everything, but the spirit is from God. So God gives the spirit.
So man is a soul.
Yes.
He's a living soul.
Yes.
When God blew the breath of life into Adam, man became a living soul.
Amen.
But man is not a spirit. He has a spirit.
Yes.
So where is the spirit?
It's inside of us. When Christ came back, he said that I would not leave you comforted. So he, in the last of the upper room, then he gave all of the disciples this Holy Spirit, and also we get the Spirit too when we believe and trust in him and accept him as our Lord and Savior.
And that was not so much as when he came back as before he left.
Right.
Because we're waiting for him to come back again, the second coming.
The second coming, that's right.
Oh, yes, I know what you mean, but I wanted to just say it directly. After he was crucified and he manifested as a being again, he said he would not leave them comfortless, meaning us also. So he sent the Holy Spirit. But he's coming back again.
Amen.
So the spirit originates from God, and all people have spirits. Number 16:22 in Hebrews 12:9.
Mm-hmm.
It is simply not biblical to talk of man not having a spirit until he receives the Holy Spirit at salvation. Circa 1 Corinthians 2:11, Hebrews 4:12, and James 2:26.
Mm-hmm.
Is it okay for you to look at scripture now, or are you not able to do so?
Oh, yeah, I could look at, pull up scriptures.
Okay, Numbers 16 and 22, and I'll get Hebrews 12 and 9.
Okay.
Numbers 16 and 22.
Okay.
Ready? Yes, ma'am.
But Moses and Aaron fell face down on the ground. Oh God, they pleaded, you are the God who gives breath to all creatures. Must you be angry with all the people when only one man sins? You said 16 and 22, right? Yeah.
16 and 22. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, that's it.
That was okay. Thank you. Any thoughts about that?
Well, let's see. If one man sins, so God is angry with every person.
So who sins?
Well, that's what, but Moses and Aaron, they fell down on the ground, and they said, oh God, they pleaded, you are the God who gives breath to all creatures. Must you be angry with all the people when only one man sins?
Mm-hmm.
So why would God be angry with every person if only one person sinned? Should that sin be on that person only?
Well, God spoke to Moses, tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the people of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Say to them, God bless you and keep you. God smile. That's not the same one. Oh, 16. I'm looking at 6. I'm sorry. 16 and 22.
Yes.
16 and 22. Sorry about that.
No problem.
That's a benediction, actually. A very nice benediction. 16 and 22 says, they threw themselves on their faces and said, oh, God, excuse me, God is everything living. When one man, God of everything living, when one man sins, are you going to take it out on the whole community? So, again, who were they speaking of? My first thought was they were talking about Adam.
Right.
Oh, okay. But if I look up further, it's about Moses' hot temper.
Oh, so it's about Moses instead of Adam?
Right. When we look at 15, it says Moses' temper blazed white hot. He said to God, don't accept their grain offering. I haven't taken so much as a single donkey from them. I haven't heard a single hair of their heads. Moses said to Korah, bring your people before God tomorrow. Appear there with them and Aaron. Have each man bring his censer filled with incense and present it to God, all 250 censers. And you and Aaron do the same. Bring your censers. So they all did it. They brought their censers filled with fire and incense and stood at the entrance of the tent of meeting. Moses and Aaron did the same. 19. It was Korah and his gang against Moses and Aaron at the entrance of the tent of meeting. The entire community could see the glory of God. God said to Moses and Aaron, separate yourselves from this congregation so that I can finish them off and be done with them.
Whoa.
So one man had done something, and he was ready to separate them from Moses and Aaron and have his way with them. He finished them off is what his words were. Okay? So they're pleading for their life is that should, you know, what did he say? God, oh God, of everything living, when one man sins, are you going to take it out on the whole community? Okay.
Mm-hmm. That's what he was going to do. He was going to take it out on all of them.
So it seems like Moses had done something. And he was going to separate Moses and Aaron from the people and finish the people off because they provoked Moses.
Yeah, yeah.
They provoked
they
him. That's why
they were
what he
a
did.
Tough set of people, though.
Uh-huh.
They were a tough set of people. You know, it was hard to deal with them.
Yes.
Moses, if it was just Moses alone, he could not deal with the Israelites. It, God had to be there to keep him going. Because them people are stiff-necked people, man. They're...
Yeah, and always forgive and begging, you know, repenting and then turn around and doing something else and not the same thing over and over and over again.
Yes.
Okay, let me look at Hebrews. It says 9, but mine is 8 through 10.
Okay.
By an act of faith, Abraham said yes to God's call to travel to an unknown place that would become his home. When he left, he had no idea where he was going. By an act of faith, he lived in the country promised him, lived as a stranger camping in tents. Isaac and Jacob did the same. Living under the same promise. Abraham did it by keeping his eye on an unseen city with real eternal foundations, the city designed and built by God. Amen. So we're talking about original spirits, and God and all his people have spirits. So he was led by the Holy Spirit to leave his home, us, right?
Yes.
He was led by God to leave his home. Continuing, it is simply not biblical. I didn't hear you.
God bless you,
sorry,
First Lady. First Lady has something to say.
Oh, good evening. Welcome. How are you?
Sorry, I'm late. I'm fine. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for joining us. Better late than not at all. Thank you.
Oh, praise God.
All right. So... we're on page 226, and we're under topic B, which is spirit, the second paragraph. Yeah. And we're talking about, it is simply not biblical to talk of man not having a spirit until he receives the Holy Spirit of salvation. And we see that in 1 Corinthians 2:11 and Hebrews 4:12 and James 2:26. Evangelist, would you get 1 Corinthians 2:11? We're talking about man is a soul, but man is not a spirit. He has a spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
So 1 Corinthians 2:11, Evangelist?
Yes. 11 says, no one can know a person's thoughts except that person's own spirit. And no one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit.
Any thoughts about that?
Well, God knows our thoughts, so we know our thoughts, what we are saying, and so does God, but not man. Man doesn't know what we are thinking. Only God knows.
Exactly. Exactly. Lady Nadine, would you get Hebrews 4:12?
Yeah.
Please.
For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any double-edged sword and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, both joints and marrow, and able to judge the reflections and the thoughts of the heart.
Amen. What does that mean, if anything?
Oh, yeah. It means that we can't hide anything from God. He will examine every inch of our heart, every inch of our soul, every inch of our body. So we can't hide anything at all.
Amen.
He knows every cell in our body.
Exactly. And the fact of the matter is that he knows it from the very beginning, before you even do it. He
Amen.
Knows what you're going to do, and he knows the outcome. So, you
mm-hmm.
know, you can't hide anything from God. You can't. All right, thank you. James 2:26, I'll read that one. It starts at 25 in the message. The same with Rahab, the Jericho harlot. Wasn't her action in hiding God's spies and helping them escape that seamless unity of believing and doing? What kind of God? The very moment you separate body and spirit, you end up with a corpse. Separate faith, and works, and you get the same thing, a corpse. So faith without works is a corpse. It's dead.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
And can't separate body from spirit. If you do, you end up with a corpse. And that's what happens. When we die, as we already spoke about, your soul goes wherever your soul goes. It could be heaven or hell. All right? But your body is now a corpse. But your soul is still living.
Yes.
It's separated from the body. Your soul still lives. Hallelujah.
Yep. Amen.
So as a facet of the immaterial part of man, one spirit is the center of various traits, emotions, talking about spirit, and activities. Some of these include thinking, Isaiah 29:24. Evangelist, would you get that? Remembering, Psalms 77:6. Lady Nadine, would you get that? Humility.
Yes.
Matthew 5:3. Grief. Genesis 26:35. Vexation. John 13:21. Jealousy. Numbers 5:14. Haughtiness. Proverbs 16:18. And contriteness. Psalm 34:18. Because it may event undesirable emotions. The spirit needs attention in the spiritual life. Psalms 51:10 and 2 Corinthians 7:1. So first we're going to take a look at Isaiah 29:24, talking about thinking, some of the emotions of the spirit.
Okay. Then the wayward will gain understanding, and complainers will accept instruction.
Because of what?
Then the wayward.
Why would that happen?
Gain understanding and complaints will accept. That's for that's what they be thinking.
What are wayward?
Unbelievers.
All right, those who are going astray. They could be believers, but they wander off and they become, you know, disobedient.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so thank you. That's good. Remembering Psalm 77:6.
I remember my song in the night. With my heart I meditate, and with my spirit searches to understand.
Amen. What do you think about that?
Remember. Yeah. Yeah. I remember my song in the night, and with my heart meditate on it, and with my spirit I search to understand it. Yeah, I think that's great. I don't want to stop the lesson, but I have something that I wanted to read about the body, soul, and spirit. In a book that I'm doing for a discipleship class that I have. I thought it was interesting the way it broke down those three parts of the body.
Mm-hmm.
But go ahead.
Is it short?
Yeah,
read it.
So it gives a distinct definition of the body first, and it says through your body you are able to participate in the physical world. Your five senses relate to the rest of God's creation. Your body makes it possible to communicate with the world around you and with other living creatures. So that was the body.
Mm-hmm.
The soul. The Bible also pictures you as a soul. You do not have a soul. You have the Bible also pictures you as a soul. The first human being became a living soul when God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life.
Mm-hmm.
God imparted his life to the person he made. The word for the soul in the Bible generally means life or total self. Soul means heart or the seat of the will, of desire, affection, that the inner human being, the psyche. And then it goes on to say the spirit. Your spirit directly relates to God's image. The spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. It gives you the self-awareness and makes it possible for you to fellowship and work with God. God communicates with you through your spirit. One of the questions that came out of it was, can the body sin without the soul?
Okay. Can the body sin without the soul?
Right. So
that would require soul on my part.
Right. It does, because it's almost like, because the body, as I said, your five senses is the body. That's how your five senses, that's how you interact with the world through sight, you know, through your five senses. You interact with the world through your five senses. And your soul is the will, your desire, your affection, you know, the things that you want to do. This is where your will is in the soul. So it's almost like they can't. They have to work in conjunction with each other because it's your soul that wills you to do something sinful, and you need your five senses in order to do it. You need your five senses to touch what your will is telling you to touch, to feel. You know what I'm saying? So it breaks this down that, you know, the body can't sin without the soul, because the soul is what wills the body to interact with the world through your five senses. And, of course, the spirit is what, you know, that's where we communicate with God, you know. And within the spirit is telling us that that's wrong. That's not in alignment with God. So sometimes the body is against the spirit, right? But all three exist. So it's whether we accept what the spirit is telling us to do, or we go with our emotions, our soul, and we go with our body, our senses, to do what it is that the soul is willing us to do. Does that make sense?
Wow. Thank you.
Okay.
And I just want to go back to page 225 for a second. And in the first paragraph, it says, man is made up of two substances, material and immaterial. Each consists of a variety within. The many facets of the material and the many facets of the immaterial join together to make up the whole of each person. Man is rich, diversity in unity. So man is one. And like you're saying, you can't really use one without the other, because we are all one unit.
Amen.
And then you may have to get, you know, permission to do whatever, but you're still one. We're not like God with, you know, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We're not like that. But we have these aspects of our body, which is the body, the soul, and the spirit. And again, we have a soul, but the spirit is within us. We don't have a spirit. Some people have evil spirits. But again, the spirit is the Holy Spirit that is within man and woman. So excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent. I want to get back to Matthew 5:3, and I'll be.
Yes. Have it. Oh, are you reading it? Do you want?
Oh, no, you can read it. Matthew 5:3.
Okay. Blessed are the poor in spirit, because theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Amen.
Amen. And mine says, you're blessed when you're at the end of your rope. With less of you, there is more of God and his rule. Amen.
That perfectly, I like that translation.
We're going to go on to, that was Matthew 5:3. Grief. We're going to look at Genesis 26:35. Evangelist, would you get that? And Lady Nick, get John 13:21, and I'll get Jealousy, numbers 5 and 14.
Yep.
26.
When you're ready.
Genesis 26:35.
26:35.
Oh, 30.
Talking about three.
34, 35. But Esau's wives made life miserable for Isaac and Rebecca. Ooh, that was evil of them.
Okay, so that's greed. That's greedy. And vexation, John 13. Excuse me?
Yeah. No, I said greed. I thought I said greed.
Yeah,
no,
greed.
Sorrow and hard times and hurt. And you have John 13:21, vexation.
Yeah, be annoyed, frustrated, worried. So when he had said these things, Jesus was troubled in spirit and testified and said, truly, truly, I say to you that one of you will betray me.
That is vexation. So who was that?
It was Judas. Judas. Judas betrayal.
Judas was
vexed? Huh?
You said Judas was vexed?
Who was vexed? No, Jesus was vexed.
Oh, okay. Jesus was vexed. Troubled. Since knowing that somebody was going to betray him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Man, that's not a pleasant feeling to, you know, be vexed. Something is bothering him.
Right.
And mine is Numbers 5 and 14, but it's kind of joined together. Jealousy. It starts at 11. Bear with me. God spoke to Moses, tell the people of Israel, say a man's wife goes off and has an affair, is unfaithful to him by sleeping with another man, but her husband knows nothing about it, even though she has defiled herself. And then, even though there was no witness and she wasn't caught in the act, feelings of jealousy come over the husband, and he suspects that his wife is impure, even if she is innocent. And his jealousy and suspicions are groundless. He is to take his wife to the priest. He must also take an offering of 2 quarts of barley flour for her. He is to pour no oil on it or mix incense with it because it is a grain offering for jealousy, grain offering for bringing the guilt out into the open. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Well, he didn't say killer, thank God.
Jealousy. Amen. And the next one is haughtiness.
Haughty.
Proverbs 16 and 18. Evangelist?
Mm-hmm. 16:18 says,
I'm sorry.
Pride goes before destruction. And haughtiness before a fall.
Mm. What does that mean to you?
Proud people. They don't think about what they're going to do. They just want what they want and they're going to do it anyway.
Pride comes before destruction and haughtiness before a fall.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So here first you got to be so proud, you're so full, so arrogant, you're going down.
Yes. Like they said, you're going down.
Yes.
Keep it up.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Is pride a sin?
Yes.
Pride is a sin. Is proud a sin?
Pride. Proud.
They're the same thing.
It is the same thing.
All right? So some say you can be, you know, proud but don't have pride. It's the same thing.
Mm-hmm. That is definitely the same thing.
Yes. Psalm 34 and 18, Lady Nadine.
Psalm 34 and 18, contriteness.
Yes.
Because right is Yahweh is near to those who are heartbroken and save those who are crushed in spirit. And that's contriteness, to have remorse, be remorseful, repentant.
Amen, amen. And another word for contriteness? Does anyone have another word for being contrite?
Remorseful.
Yes. I think you used that one already. Is there another one?
Oh.
To be broken.
Broken. Yeah.
You know, when people go to court and the judge says, well, they showed no remorse. They didn't seem, you know, saddened by their cruel crime, whatever that might be. They didn't show any emotion. They weren't broken in any kind. They certainly had no remorse, you know. They weren't apologetic. They didn't feel sorry. They weren't sad for whoever, you know, they hurt. Contrite.
Right.
Yeah. So because it may evince undesirable emotions, the spirit needs attention in the spiritual life. Since you're at Psalms, Lady Nadine, would you get 51 and 10? And Evangelist, would you get 2 Corinthians 7 and 1?
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. So, 51 and 10. Create a clean heart for me, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Wow. The
so
first
what
time
that
I heard this,
huh?
I said the first time I heard this song was a song. I think it's by John P. Key, Created Me a Clean Heart.
Oh, yeah.
And a new,
the right spirit.
Spirit.
Right spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So that's telling us what?
Spirit needs attention to.
Yes. Yes.
We have to do it. So that. Mm-hmm.
Renew a right spirit within me. You're pleading to God to help you. What it is that you're not doing right. You know, God, help me to do the right thing.
Oh, yeah.
Amen. Yes, Lord. And so, in Corinthians, you had something else to say?
No, you can go ahead and on. I just praise and thank you, God.
Corinthians 7 and 1, Evangelist.
Because we have these promises, dear friends, let us cleanse ourselves from everything that can defile our body or spirit. Let us work toward complete holiness because we fear God. That's right.
Amen.
Because you are going to do the right thing.
Amen. Amen. Mm-hmm. And not saying that we're angels and we're not going to ever be tempted or, you know, be subject to doing the wrong thing. But I think we have more God in us than we have the devil.
Yes.
You know,
Amen.
Instead of getting twice when something wants to pull you in the wrong direction, you know better than that.
Mm-hmm.
That's not God's way. And so that should no longer be our way. We don't want to do those kinds of things. You know that's not right.
Exactly.
Right.
And to God with a contrite heart, a broken heart, for him to help us to do the right thing.
Yes.
We want to follow Jesus. And the next paragraph, then we're going to end it there without going through the scriptures, because it's a lot of meat in this with the scriptures. So.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Though soul and spirit can relate to the same activities or emotions, there does seem to be a distinction and contrast between soul and spirit in Pauline thought. This accounts for his emphasis on the spiritual. And they have a lot of scriptures, which we're not going to get into right now. So when this says Pauline thought, what is that? What is Pauline thought?
Who is Pauline?
Paul, the apostle,
right.
The apostle Paul. So their thought of the Pauline thought.
the way that Paul thought. That's what it's another way. The way that Paul thought. So
yeah,
we got like a half a minute. I'm not gonna go yet. Never mind. So we're gonna stop right here. If it's okay
mm-hmm.
with you, ladies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank you for joining us this evening. This is lovely.
Very lovely.
I'm going to ask Lady Nadine to take the... Say what?
Oh, yeah. Dear God. Lord God, we come to you with contrite hearts, Lord God.
Mm-hmm.
Lord God, we call on you to clean. Give us a clean heart, Lord God.
Yes.
That we can do you, Lord God. That we can do your will, Lord God. And that, Lord God, that we will strong to fight those arrows, those darts
yeah.
darts that sent to us by the accuser, Lord God. But we know, Lord God, that in you, through your Holy Spirit, Lord God, there is strength
yes.
and there is power. And there is the ability to resist and resist the devil, as you say, and he will flee from you.
Yeah. And
you will constantly come to God, we will constantly stay in your will, Lord God, as we fight on this side, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for this lesson. We thank you, Lord God, for Sister Barbara, for bringing this lesson, Lord God. In
yes.
such
hallelujah.
Lord God, we thank you, Lord God, for the gift that you have provided for her, Lord God, through the Holy Spirit. Lord
Jesus.
God, I thank you for Sister Hilda, Evangelist Hilda, Lord God, who text me to let me know that I need to be here right now, Lord God. So I thank you for her, Lord God.
Thank you,
Lord God.
I was like, okay.
Thank you.
Amen. This was a lesson, Lord God, that I just, you didn't want me to miss it, Lord God, and I see why. So important,
hallelujah.
Lord God. So we thank
yes.
you and we praise you, Lord God. We pray for all those who are on the line, Lord God. We pray for the increase, Lord God, for
yes.
more
thank
to come
you.
On to the Lord God and hear this word, hear your word, hear this lesson, Lord God. That Sister Barbara has to offer to anyone who comes on. So we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Thank you for that awesome prayer. And thank you, Evangelist, for that opening awesome prayer. But Lady Nadine, don't run. I need to ask you a question.
Okay.
We're thinking about the retreat, and I would like for your daughter to do some yoga and some affirmation exercises, for lack of a better word right now. We're just going to say that. Could you get her interested to do something like that with us, to do yoga? And
she can,
I guess
she
has to
do
mat or something.
Yeah, she could do affirmation. She could do affirmations. She could do mindfulness. I don't know if she knows yoga.
I thought she said yoga.
No.
Who was that you had me watch in New Jersey?
Yeah, that's you. No, that wasn't.
She wasn't doing yoga?
Mm-mm.
Yeah. All right.
No,
bad.
I think
so.
She was doing, it wasn't yoga, but she was doing, it was like what you call
relaxation
exercises. Yeah, when you tense your body and...
That
relax.
We want that.
Yeah.
And you could, give us a name. We God willing, we have a meeting, on Sunday after service. So
right.
You can bring that up and her approval or her, affirming that she would do it, God willing, that would be quite helpful. Okay.
Okay. All right, cool.
Okay.
I will get information.
That was what we need, you know. That's what we want. Oh, I want to say I also thought of a makeup artist there. Would you ladies be interested in that or not? More skincare than makeup, so my thought.
Oh, because I don't do makeup. I only do lipstick.
So skincare more so than makeup.
Okay. Skincare works for
me. We can talk about it, but I just wanted to share it right now because I had asked the young lady, but I did say makeup, but I'm more interested in skincare.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll talk about it, God willing, on Sunday. Thank you for staying a moment.
Love you, lady. The person that was on the line, I think that was the same guy that that
Joshua?
Got into it. Huh?
Joshua?
No, not Joshua. The other guy, Mohammed. He was quiet tonight. He didn't say anything. He just listened.
Oh, was I on when he? I don't think I was on when Mohammed came on.
Oh my! No,
he came
on
last Wednesday.
Last week,
when I was giving the lesson.
Yes.
Okay, because I didn't know that one.
And he was talking. He wasn't listening. He was just talking. So.
Something tonight.
Robbie got very angry, but I just said to Hilda, like when he gets on and he goes on and on and on and on and on, he doesn't stop. And what he's talking about really has nothing to do with the lesson. It's like he's trying to teach us something. And you can't teach me something that's not scripturally based. So every time he told me about something that Jesus said we ought to honor the book of Mary. And I said, but where is that in the
book? Don't have a book of Mary. Right.
but this is the whole point. His whole thing is talking about we should be looking at the other books that was not put into the Bible. Because Jesus said we better acknowledge the book of Mary. I said, well, where did Jesus say? Let's acknowledge the book of Mary. Where is that? Show me where that is in the scripture. But he kept saying it. He kept saying it over and over and over again. He wouldn't stop. So Robin yelling at him, and they just went. But I said to Hilda, I mean, if it happens again, he could say something. But if he doesn't stop, you just have to put him on mute.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You just have to mute him.
Okay.
Because what he's saying is not to the left.
No, because what
goes
he's
off
talking
on his
about is Muslim stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know if he's a Muslim. We don't really know what he is. Because he, you know, I don't know what he is, but I just know that what he says.
I don't think the Muslim that study he says very either.
Yeah, but nothing that he says is Muslim. He doesn't talk about the Quran. He talks about the other books of the Bible. Like, he's just like all over the place.
Yeah.
Oh,
so you just have to put them on mute. That's all.
Right.
Because I'm not going to yell at him, and I'm not going to debate his religion with me. But I'm not going to debate religion with him. If he can't ask questions and go along with, you know, with how the session is moving, then you just have to put them on mute.
And you know what that amounts to? That's a distraction.
Yes.
That gets you off the mission, and that's not a
Remember,
part of what you're trying to do.
Barbara, we used to have a lot of distractions in the beginning of the program.
I know. Every now and then it comes on with some negativeness. Yeah, negativity.
Yeah.
But that's a distraction. So, like, you know yourself. You don't entertain that. You know?
Right.
You don't entertain
You cannot entertain it. That's what Timothy talked. That's what Paul talked about with Timothy. You don't entertain those debates about the word, okay? Either you...
Exactly.
You
the ladies have a beautiful night. I just got some drama
you
going
too.
On Wednesday night.
We're going to miss you tomorrow.
Yes.
God bless.
Yes. Miss you too. Love you. Y'all have a blessed evening and shalom.
You too.
Shalom, everybody. Have a good night.
Oh, good night.
Okay, good night. And on that, we are out.